Welcome back to Rethink Politics with our part two episode of Hurricanes and Political Turmoil on the Bougie Black Brother Network.
Another thing, there's been a couple things that's been that I've been paying attention to because the North Korea story is there, and then just real quick, when you were talking about people's, you know, wanting to put their names on it and just kind of the mm-hmm. political theater of it all, there was an event, local event yesterday, talking about accountability in politics. This is just local. And they basically were saying there's not really any. And when there's a watchdog group, you have to see how's the watchdog group being funded, if it's biased information. A lot of times, you know, politicians have meetings behind closed doors, make decisions. So just thinking of that bill, really just a lot of things in general. I'm just kind of like, Trump wanted to come in cleaning the swamp, quote unquote. So it's kind of like, where's the accountability? So when he says, oh, well, I'm not doing this, I'm flip-flopping, is there really accountability for that decision? Is there accountability on any level? That kind of just, that event just kind of made me think.
So what's interesting about that is, if you look at Trump, and which makes it really interesting, he doesn't mm-hmm. care about running again. He wants to get what he wants right now. So as he moves along, he's got three more years to kind of do what the hell he wants. He doesn't care about the next 4 years after that, where most politicians try to be cooperative on the first years of their term in order to get things really done in their last 4 years. He doesn't give a damn about that, because he said if he wins and he doesn't win, he can always hold his hat and say, I was the president. And he will always bring that up, whether he's the worst one in history or not. He's going to say, but I was president and I had the most votes, which he didn't. But he'll say that, and he'll live off that forever. So accountability, yeah. Let's go to your regular politicians. There's not that many. There's not that much regular accountability. It isn't. Especially to me, there's not a lot on the federal level, because you really don't think about them until it's election time. And then when they pour a lot on, they mm-hmm. you're really focusing on the opponent. You're not really focusing on the person who's been not doing a goddamn thing for the last 3 years.
And you know what? That point, in terms of researching candidates, that brings up the other issue of just a total lack of local journalism resources. Local, non-corporate. Because, you know, these, with the consolidation in the media, sometimes, I mean, for my end, for the Atlanta mayor race that I've been going to these events for and trying to follow, I have, you know, finding decent articles, I don't know, it's just not as easy as I like it to be. I definitely have to go out and find information and try to seek and very targeted information finding. But for a lesser known candidate, there's not that many articles on them. So to your point, I think that brings up that issue.
There's a void right now when you're dealing with local affairs in general. So I think what's going on is all of this circles around the media. So when we're talking about how it used to be in the 90s, back when everyone had cable television, back when newspapers were a common thing everyone had, back when computers weren't as, you know, common as they are today. If you fast forward a decade or two to, let's just say now everything has changed. And I don't think politics have adapted to what, you know, to how the media is now, how communications work, how everyone's connected. So when you're talking about local, the local government, and what's going on in your county, in your city, in your district, I don't think the stories are getting pushed the same way. You know, I don't think those politicians in your area that are in control are pushed around the same way. I feel like there's a generational gap as well. So when you have politicians that know how to use Twitter and know how to use Facebook and Instagram, if they are using Instagram, you have to push in that area. You have to be advanced in that area, or at least have the right team in that area. I actually don't feel like Hillary was very good in that area, but that's another topic.
No, because she was that, you know, traditional politician, right. And she never strayed.
Well,
let's go
back to Hillary, because I just felt like, I mean, I'm sure you guys feel the same way, because but I don't feel like she was open enough. You know, like, even when she was on Twitter, like, her comments or whatever she was saying, they weren't really, she maybe said like two or three things that were like, oh, gotcha. But it was like, you've been running for like almost 2 years now, and then the election day is about to come, and I'm not really feeling you on social media, and then you're having these debates and you look like a robot, you know, like, or just sounds like a robot. I didn't feel, and then she's going alongside Bernie, who is keeping it honest, 100, like, you could just hit, you know, off the tongue. He's just like, you feel like he would have just said, I don't give a shit. Yeah. I just felt like his next word was going to be, you know what the fuck I'm saying? Like, it just sounded like that's what he wanted to just come out and say. I mean, Hillary is just
that
like.
That would have been great. You know what the fuck I'm saying?
I bet Trump people probably would have jumped over if they heard that. But I mean, I think that's kind of what the dynamics are. I feel like you got this older generation in politics that aren't adapting. And I feel like whether it's the Democrats or Republicans, who knows? Trump, unfortunately, he got it on Twitter. You know, he got it, his voice out, and people heard him. There were two different conversations, him on a debate stage, him behind the mic, and then it was him on Twitter. You always heard him. And then you had the media that loved him because of the stuff he was saying everywhere.
Well, they loved the ratings, yeah.
Yeah, it was ratings. Well, yeah, they loved the ratings, but of course he does too. But he got some help because he kept his voice out there, you know, and that's how it's got to roll. We needed somebody on the Democratic side that knows how to work the social media. Obama had a team that was good at it. Like, I don't know if Obama himself was good at it. He just knew. Obama's more of a his timing was good. I feel like on social media, but he had a team that knew. Okay, boom, this is what you need to do. And then he had the right people around him. Where we just need to make sure that next person knows how to work that, the new technology, the new voice, that just knows how to work the system.
To your point, have a team that can do it.
A team is important, yeah.
Like, Elizabeth Warren has a great voice. This woman is smart. She knows how to attack people. She's witty. She's got it all. I'm not sure if she's technically savvy, but if they can convert what she does, what you see, into social media, she's fine. She's great. She's right there.
So, yeah, but so as a, it's a question of communication. Is it mandatory to be social media savvy? Like, obviously, after Nixon, or it was Nixon versus JFK, that pushed the needle. After that, you had to be, you can't come across weird on TV. Then up until this point, maybe we're at another paradigm where it's both, you have to be TV ready, but also,
Bernie, social media.
Bernie wasn't, the most lavish dude. He had his supporters. Are you saying just like how they look?
Not looks. Not like movie star looks, but just in terms of not coming off like a robot, as you say. Just coming off like
genuine, authentic.
Yeah, which for a lot of, that's not for everybody, obviously. Yeah. So
would you call Trump authentic? Or
he's a showman. So it's hard to, I don't know.
Yeah, he's a salesman. So he knows all he's been doing all his life has been deceiving people. That's a natural occurrence that he does. When he says you're gonna be so ecstatic, you just wait and see. It'll be the best thing in your life. You don't even. There's no way it's gonna happen. But he's sticking to that 150%. And then when it doesn't happen, he's gonna move on to something else. He's not even gonna accept the fact that he said it. So he's excellent at that. If you're a fool. And you can fool some of the people some of the time, and so on and so on.
Yeah, His followers, yeah. His base.
Now, real. That said, I mean, there's the accountability angle. Now, let's talk about accountability in terms of war. So, George Bush did the whole, you know, people felt like, did he have too much power, executive power, mm-hmm. post 9/11? Same question for Obama on the other end. Republicans are like, oh my God, it's, you know, this is going to be a dictatorship. Can Trump be accountable in terms of North Korea?
So I don't want to get into that because we got 7 minutes left.
Okay.
But yeah. No, because that's a big issue. If you saw his actual
speech
to the United Nations. Oh my God. You had the Russian, what was it? I forgot his name. That was slamming his shoe on the damn table. Years ago.
Not Putin.
No. This was way back during the Cold War. And but this guy made a threat to a sovereign nation.
What'd he say?
He said we will obliviate North Korea.
Yeah.
We will destroy. He didn't say he would destroy Kim Jong-un. He said we will destroy North Korea.
Not his regime, not his presence, not his leadership.
No, wait. Did he say if threatened?
Nope.
So he said well, if this continues, we will destroy North Korea.
And all they're gonna do is launch a missile in defiance.
Yeah. Well, then what you gonna do?
You don't say that because first of all, even if you wanted to. You're destroying part of South Korea. You know what I mean? Like, you're creating... Okay, you're talking war. There are consequences. You can't just say that and then be like, oh, okay, I'm just going to destroy them, but then you're going to kill millions of people? Because you're saying the same thing. You can't say that as the president. You just... That's like president 101 on every level unless you're...
But he's not 101. He's not even... He didn't even go to the school... Or plan on going to the school. So could you imagine these world leaders listening to this?
Yep.
So to me, if I'm another country, I'm like, this guy could do that to me.
Right.
This guy is outright fucking crazy. And he's standing and saying he's going to do this. Now, if you don't know him, you know he bluffs. But other countries don't know he's bluffing.
They don't. Like Iran,
and he's making threats to a sovereign nation.
Yeah, he's pissing off Iran too. I feel like Iran heard that and was like, "Wait a minute, you're basically talking about us too, because we're the same. We're that country that was gonna do the same thing, and then we agreed to your deal. We stopped doing the nuclear, stopped making the nuclear bombs or whatever they were creating, and then instead."
So Lester Holt, did you see that? Lester Holt actually had an interview. With that guy, with the president.
I didn't see the whole thing though, but yeah, I saw
segments of that. Yeah. So that's what got me, because I mean, I agree with him. He was like, "You don't do that. You are losing respect amongst the world."
Yeah, right.
He said, "We're doing what we need to do."
Yep.
We had the test. It came back right. We told them we're not a nuclear power country. Mm-hmm. North Korea is. Why would you put us in there? Why? Because Netanyahu is his boy, and he want to please Netanyahu. That's what he wants to do. So, which makes it just so fucking crazy. But there's just so much other things with this threat of war thing.
I ran into somebody at the event. We were talking, and the analogy was, you know, the United States, we're driving this car. And the car was fine in January 19th. He changed drivers. Then all of a sudden,
swerving.
You know, driving a little crazy. Other cars trying to shoot at us.
To get you to stop.
They're honking at
it. Yeah. So I'm just kind of like, North Korea has been a problem, you know, for years.
Yeah.
But like, I'm trying to think if I just have... selective memory. Like, when was the last time besides when, you know, he died and his son came to power, when was the last big North Korea story or series of stories?
So he made threats back and forth. There was a lot of compromises going on.
The movie, the interview, they were upset about that, so they hacked Sony. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they had people do that.
But it goes back to the 90s, though. Bill Clinton dealt with the same or similar things that just they knew how to control it. They were actually like going on a diplomatic path, talking to not necessarily his father, but like his regime or his people.
There was and a China. Whole level.
Yeah, in China. And China was, I think, helping a lot more than they are now. But
well, actually, China is helping, but he's still antagonizing North Korea. China's like, yo, what the fuck are you doing, man? Yeah. And he was like, oh, no, he's threatening the United States. No, he's not. You making him do shit like that.
Rocket Man.
And China's like, yo, I'm out of this. Fuck this.
Yo, he called him Rocket
Man. Yeah, and I saw when he said, he called dude Rocket Man. I'm like, bro, I immediately thought of the Elton John song.
Exactly, me too.
I was just like, this is a Rocket Man. I was like, why would you? That's weird.
That's juvenile. Who does that? You're the president of the. I'm tired of keep saying this, man. I've been quoting this throughout my conversation. This is the president.
Did y'all see his Twitter?
No.
He tweeted. Remember, he last weekend he tweeted the picture that he threw a golf ball at Hillary Clinton. A gift.
Kid.
I was just like,
and he thought it was funny.
Yeah.
You know. He thought it was appropriate to retweet it. So even though we just told Hillary go sit down somewhere, this dude it's still like, I'm gonna throw something at you.
He's a clown.
You know what I mean? Because I don't like you. You're a nasty lady.
Yeah. Crazy. So, you know, like there's so much to kind of think about. So on the hurricane front, again, accountability, and to be honest, if I'm a resident of Florida, of the Gulf Coast, you know, can I sue the government for negligence? Are they accountable for climate change? If I'm a citizen of that area, I seriously have to think about like, okay, if this is from climate change, or again anything, if Republicans are just not trying to spend on what they feel is just waste.
What is that?
You know,
that,
infrastructure.
Yeah, but what is that treaty that he supposedly signed in?
Oh, the Paris Accords, the Paris something.
So they still keep bringing that up, and he was like, I don't give a fuck about that. So think about what's going on in this whole country. You got Texas that got hit, devastation, billions of dollars. Of restructuring, I mean rebuilding, and not counting the other areas in Louisiana and Alabama that
hit
with the other hurricane Irma on that side, and then the portion of the West Coast is still on fucking fire, But yet they're saying nope, no climate no climate change, and we're not doing anything about it because. We don't have anything to do with that.
So again, what's the role of government? Should government go in and, you know, force to basically buy back property? Do you have nonprofits whose job is to, you know, kind of in high risk areas say, hey, in this West Coast neighborhood, you might, you know, wildfire zone is what you need to do. Here's the insurance you should probably buy. Hey, you know, it's kind of like the government isn't, in my opinion, isn't performing like it should. And that's putting a lot of people at risk.
Absolutely. Because, but with this you know, government in place, what is the likelihood of any of that happening?
I mean, if they don't do it, I'm saying who will? Because like nonprofit, private sector organizations, I mean, can only go so far.
I mean, when you're talking nonprofits, we can cross our fingers they have enough money to help out, but then that money, I mean, when you're talking government, it's like unlimited money. I mean, that's, if you want the government, in my opinion, I feel like the government is about supporting the people. I mean, you could call it maintenance, you could call it, you know,
maintenance.
I mean, like it's,
like a software update. Yeah, like you gotta run updates.
If there's a problem, they fix it. I mean, you can have a company, a nonprofit, an organization that's in the area that can help out, sure. But at the end of the day, this is the government's country. So it's whether it's the local or the federal is the one that spits out money like it's nothing. The local government, you know, they have a lot of money, a lot of money. Some have more than some of the biggest countries in the world, like California.
Okay.
You know.
But if I'm a Trump supporter, I mean, if I'm a Trump supporter, what's my definition of accountable, and who am I holding accountable if I was a Trump supporter in Texas or Florida?
If you're a Trump supporter, then you're reactive, then you probably don't understand the bigger picture. So if there's a fire in my neighborhood and there's a mountain,
you probably don't understand education. So
you see the smoke coming. You're like, wait a minute, my house is about to go on fire. I have to move. Hold on. Who's going to help me? Then you're like, okay, government, help me out. Or, you know, because I'm pretty sure your insurance company doesn't pay for everything in your house or finds out what next neighborhood you're going to move to. Or, you know, there's some of this stuff they just, I don't know. I don't want to speak for all Trump supporters, but I feel like most of them have no idea what they're even supporting or what they're even fighting against.
Yeah, because they have, to your point, they have no idea of what affects them and what doesn't.
Right.
They're just listening to what's being given to them and fed to them. So as they feed them the next controversial subject of black people get free education, so that's why people in the Midwest cannot get education.
Yeah.
Or then they're like, that's what I heard on Fox.
Mm-hmm. And if they're Hispanic, then they're not from here.
Yeah, all Hispanics ain't from here, and we should be sending them all back.
Right.
Man, that's a whole other thing. Another thing, this might be for next time, but I watched a little Vice episode on basically the new permanent temporary workers, where the tip agencies have a deal. How is it? It's a three-tiered system where Amazon has makes a contract with the tip agency. And the tip agency basically goes out and gets immigrant, like labor, and transport them back and forth to the warehouses, pay them like $8 an hour, no pay raises. And long story short, a lot of the things that are built, and especially shipping, this is very big in like Amazon warehouses and online purchases. A lot of things that are shipped are handled by the same people they're trying to deport. So, and they followed like a black guy who went in there, who went in one of the places and was told, like, one of them, he was told there wasn't any work. So depending on the nature of the work, they're only looking for these certain kind of people that they can take advantage of, you know, more at risk people, because they know,
can't complain.
If they don't have everything together, then they can pay them what they want. But they was just like, we only get paid like this much. It's, you know, it's crazy. We can't complain. They don't like us talking to the media. Like, it got really deep. You know what I mean? Because if Amazon is doing this, they're going to tell the staffing agency, hey, don't do this. Which means, you know, it goes down to the workers. So, you know, that in itself was just a kind of like microcosm of, if you all do this, then, I mean, prime shipping is out the window. There's no way you're gonna do that with people wanting $15 at least. You know what I mean?
I think that's definitely a good conversation, because it has bigger impact than what the government is telling us. And the media, honestly, you got to really search for those type of stuff on the air. And when you're reading it, you're kind of like, I don't know if this is legitimate. And then when you find out that it is, you're like, how come mainstream ain't, you know, contesting why these people shouldn't be going? Because of the system, our system will break down. You can't force people, and I know it was black and white, to do certain jobs that they just don't want to do.
Right.
They will get welfare before they go out and pick oranges. they just won't do it.
Right. Well, I mean, you have these women, men and women, who work like sometimes 6 days a week and crazy, you know, conditions, only get paid $8, $8.25 an hour. When, again, no raises. And it's just like, again, what's the role of government? Should there be regulation for that? Should there be, is it just kind of allowed, you know, kind of looked over? And again, accountability, assuming that there are rules in place, you know, where are the checks and balances? Are there any checks back and balances? To
your accountability thing.
I don't know. I just, because I'm wondering from my end, driving through Atlanta, I'm just kind of like, I know myself, sometimes I got to make the light. But if I'm driving, I'm trying to drive through that yellow light, I may misjudge a pothole, and boom, that goes, you know, that's probably, it's not going to happen, but depending if it's like a new pothole, I may not see it. It's like, well, I just have to pay for this? Like, is the city responsible for this? You know what I mean? I guess where I am right now.
I have a story for that, by the way.
Oh, okay. What happened?
This was years ago, but I was driving and going down a hill, leaving work, and hit a pothole. I was probably going about 35 on a regular, you know, two-lane street. Boom, hit the right side, front right side of my car. Banged it so much that I got a flat tire, had to turn off to the side. It was a pothole. I knew that. So, you know, I'm cussing the storm, like, oh, you know, as I'm turning off. And then I get out the car, messed up my rim a little bit, but my tires are flat. Just to fast forward a bit, because I had to get it, you know, the tire change and call Geico or whatever. I called, actually, my sister. She works as a police dispatcher. So she knows how the system works, at least in the Northern Virginia area, in the local area. I forget the name of the department, but the local department that is in charge of city streets and there's a word for it. I'm going to remember after this interview. Yeah, I called that number and I got in hold. And I remember his name was George, George Hall. And I was trying to figure out, I was like, look, you had a pothole on this street at this time. It messed up my car. I have to get a new tire. And he apologized, because he was like, oh, we had a water main break on that corner, and it's actually taken care of already. We apologize. Make sure you send me the bill. What? And we'll take care of your, yes, I promise you. I didn't even see it coming. I was just so pissed. I was like, my sister said, call him. I need to find out who this department is. Wow. But I called him.
I'm about to say, he's having lines.
Yeah. He actually, honestly, he paid off my car, because it was at the very end of, you know, my loan. And, but, you know, that's another story.
Right, right.
But it was a couple, you know, it was a couple thousand, because I went ahead and got a couple tires replaced. You know, I probably shouldn't be saying that publicly, but whatever. Well, I sent him a bill.
Okay.
Allegedly. Allegedly, that's what happened with my tire, but, you know.
That's what we do on our
It worked out, though.
It's alleged.
So, it's all right. Wow. I shouldn't have said his name.
Bro, taxpayer money. See?
I'm just letting you know, so it's possible. Allegedly.
See, you just like the folks at the top.
Hey, but
taxpayer money, as long as it benefits me, I'm
good.
Well,
let me say this. It's Fairfax, so let me step back. It's one of the richer cities in the country, so... They probably just had some extra money, and they were like, well, it's probably going to happen at least a couple times, and then he just spit out money. That's,
you know. So, they got a flat tire budget.
Yeah, there's like, every main break, there's always, somebody's going to call. I was probably one of them.
Okay, so they have some accountability. Yeah. Nice.
Excellent.
Maintenance and accountability.
Yeah, I think people need to figure out locally, how, you know, figure out the accountability in your local city or whatever, whether you have a local nonprofit who kind of fact checks, or there's like an office that you can go to, you know, just kind of figure that out, because I think that's what I need to do, because I don't really know how that works. Like, if I want to just say, you know what, I'm fed up, you know, I need to go, you know, send a letter or
but
whatever.
But I think what we fail to do is because we don't know. It's out of ignorance. You know, the ignorance of not knowing. Not the ignorance of, I know it's there, but I'm not even going to bother to go check. It's the ignorance of not knowing. You know what I mean? I can call the mayor and say, hey, mayor, who's going to fix these potholes that I just, okay, I'll make a call. Sorry for your inconvenience. But you called the direct people who was responsible, which made a difference. Where if you call the mayor's office, they'll just apologize. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, your expectation was I can vent on somebody and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But come to find out, they're going to hook you up.
Risk management, by the way. Risk management. That's the allegedly the name of said.
Oh, okay. So it's Department of Risk Management.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to think about that. That's unique.
Boom.
But it's unique that that office is under the Department of Risk Management.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? I guess what?
I think that would be.
I gotta think about that.
You know, that's infrastructure unique. And something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I bet what happened is I was probably forwarded to that that department. I mean, I think risk management handled the situation. Maybe I called a certain area and then they were like, hold on, this is so and so.
Oh, okay. You know what? Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Because this under risk management is probably insurance or something, and possibly claims management.
Yeah, you got a water main break. That's the problem with the city or the county. County is like, okay, we need to fix that. There's already a budget to fix those issues. Part of the issue is insurance. And boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got it. Makes sense.
So I got lucky.
So claims. So risk management.
Yeah,
and
because
insurance.
If you think about it, if it's a main break, good. If it's just a pothole because, you know, water and they didn't take care of it, maybe a truck dropped a pipe or something. That they probably can't do anything about that, but they had a real issue, so maybe that's luck, allegedly.
Cool. So accountability and luck, they never
doesn't hurt. Not at all.
I want to be lucky.
So thanks, gentlemen. Good conversation. Really good conversation. Really wanted to kind of get what was going on a little currently because I really wanted to have a separate segment with the escalation of war and confrontations with the other nations in the world. I want to tie that in with possible war and relationships overseas and what our government has placed their citizens in jeopardy because there was like three little white girls that had acid thrown on them.
I think it was in
London or somewhere. Mm-hmm. But because of our actions and our leadership in the world, they're putting us in jeopardy. So I really want y'all to kind of focus that on our next segment because, you know, the possibility of war and our threats going out to sovereign countries. And do you really believe this will be the case, or is it just boisterous threats like he normally does, but with this guy's ego? Do you really want to take that chance? So I think we really need to kind of, I would love to get your opinions, you know, because I know y'all do good research, but I would want to get some opinions so we can have this dialogue back and forth on that.
Yes,
sir. So any last word, E?
I mean, you're right. I mean, the wars, I feel like it's building up. You got Trump talking trash for no reason, but, you know, because he can. But honestly, you know, I'm really concerned about, on top of that, this Hurricane Maria is about to hit Puerto Rico. And just throw that in, my in-law has family out there, my brother-in-law.
Right.
And they're about to get, I think it's the third Hurricane Maria, and it's a Category 5. They're already without power and damaged so bad. So I'm kind of right now, you know, just praying for them, hoping that, you know, I mean, it's going to hit them good. So hopefully, you know, everybody's okay. But yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Jazz, anything?
Just to reiterate what I've been saying, you know, try to figure out, you know, accountability locally. And I'm just learning all my stuff just by going to these events, you know, going to, just go, all you gotta do is go on Eventbrite and go to type in politics in your city and see what events are going on and try to get involved. Find stuff different times of the day. Mm-hmm. So kind of like what E just said, when he, you know, think about his family, you know, this and that. So you can kind of already know the, you know, so if you want to help out family members from a storm or whatever the case, you know, the agencies, the organizations or whatever the case locally that you can connect them to in times of emergency.
So, yeah, these are some things that I just want us to be able to talk to, because it's the political issues. The more we talk about it, the more we'll go back and do a little more than casual, you know, research. It's something that drives us that we can hand off to other people. So my hope is also is that you're engaged with others to get, you know, just the man on the street type of information, because I know you just kind of did a little of that too, Chaz, when you're going to these organizations and these meetings and you're getting feedback from people. I think that's a good thing that we can get some input, E, if you're mm-hmm. actually engaging people so we can see outside of Georgia what people are saying. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And when we get that kind of feedback, we'll come together and it gives us an idea of what's going on outside of our own, you know, situated thoughts and all. So, because I do it and they just pissed me off and said, yep, it's typical. So, but I want to get outside of that. And I think what you're saying, Chaz, and E, was kind of important to me to say, you know what, there's organizations in the government that I don't even know it exists that I can be leveraging to get information from, or services. And I don't even know these services actually exist because we're not totally engaged with the government that our taxes are actually paying for.
Right.
So pretty important. So thanks, guys. Repo, see us every other Monday. We're have the other catastrophe coming up this upcoming Monday. And then you'll see us coming real soon behind that. And we'll see you soon on Repo, Rethink Politics. Good night.